Morning, everyone, and welcome here in Jesus' name this morning. And I want to welcome the visitors here too. We're glad you're here, and everybody else that's here. And Jonas, almost a visitor. What seemed like a long time, but I guess it wasn't that long. But anyway, welcome everybody here. A couple weeks ago, me and Jackson went to Oregon to a funeral, which most of you know that. And I was on the way back, I think was in a layover in St. Paul, I believe it was. And we was sitting there eating, or I was the only one eating. He wasn't hungry, but we was sitting there in this, at the edge of this restaurant eating a burger. And, of course, there's tons of people in these airports. And I seen this couple come walking by me. He had a big, tall pack on his back and kind of a middle-aged couple, maybe, yeah, maybe in their 40s. And this place they come past there served alcohol. And I heard the wife say to the husband, she said, "Do you want to get a beer for this flight?" And immediately he said, "No, it's..." I don't know what he said, but something about something it would do to him. He didn't want to do that. And so they kept walking. You could tell she turned it loose. They kept walking. And I was watching. And they got up there at the entrance to this place. And the man slowed down. And she didn't know he slowed down. And finally she looks back. And then he kind of kept walking. And so it looked like he faltered there over what she said. They went on out of sight. I don't know how long later it was, maybe 3 minutes. What do you think I seen? This very same man walked back down there and in there to obviously get him a drink. What was I seeing when I seen that? Did somebody want to tell me what I was seeing? What was that? What was he struggling with?
Temptation.
Temptation? That's right. Temptation. And that's what I've chosen to talk on this morning. And it's not something you want to talk on because you see your own life and you know you face temptations like anybody else. And but temptation. He said the right thing first, but was it her fault? Maybe she started it. But he made the choice in his mind. And temptation, it's to entice to sin, is basically just a simple definition. And this is something that starts at a very young age. You can have a two-year-old, like I have at my house, and they can have tons of things with no consequence, perfectly fine. But as soon as you say you don't do this, that's exactly what they want to do. And they're tempted to do it. And they're going to try to do it and see what consequence happens. So it starts very young. And it unfortunately doesn't leave us ever. It changes a little bit in life. But as young children grow up, they stay tempted with things that they should not have, that they're not allowed to have. And young men and young women grow up and they face temptations too. And, you know, we usually really focus on the youth because they face these moral temptations. Boys and girls can at young age. They can both have attractions to the other. And that is actually God, you know, we all know that our attraction to women, women's attraction to men is a God-given thing. But God puts guidelines on this. And so we kind of focus on that with youth. It's a very real thing for youth. And yet it doesn't go away after you're married. It doesn't go away after you're 50 or 60. I don't think it ever really goes away totally from what I understand. It changes a little bit in the middle of your life. I was talking to a cousin of mine in Oregon, And he said that it was after 40 he struggled the most with just discouragement and just the thing of doing church. And it just, you know, you do it so long and you get to being discouraged. It's, you know, there's not much new in life anymore. And there's a temptation to be discouraged in the middle of life. And older people can either be tempted to be proud of their accomplishments. They can be they can be very disgruntled or bitter because of what has not happened in their life, and they can be tempted to be that way. They can be tempted to look down on the younger ones that, you know, there's a gap there, and they can be tempted to look down on that. And so temptation is something that it changes a little, but it stays with us. It's something we face all of our life. It's not something we might face. It's something we will face. And I appreciated the devotions too that talked about this. It amazed me that he talked about temptation a little bit, because it went with what I was saying. And he was saying there that without being grounded in God, don't remember the exact way he said it, that we won't come out right on these temptations. Temptation only comes from the devil. And is this clear in our mind? Do we somehow not categorize the devil with our temptation we face? James 1 verse 13. Look that up. James 1 13. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God, temptation is not from God. The next two verses, 14 and 15, tells us why we are tempted to sin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it's our own desires that tempt us to sin. And just because you get tempted this morning does not mean that you sin. And that's something the devil wants you to think, that because you face a temptation that you've already sinned. And it's simply not true. Jesus was tempted and he never sinned. It tells us that Jesus was tempted. So the temptation itself is not wrong. You will be tempted. It's what you do with this temptation. It's when we're drawn away with it. We follow after this temptation. And then when it turns into something bigger, and then it gives birth to sin, is what happens with that. That's when we fall into sin, is when we follow after, when we go after this temptations that we face. Temptation satisfies right desires in the wrong way. Why does Satan tempt us? Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 3, 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, Then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, and to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan tempts us to doubt. He wants us to doubt God's goodness. He wants us to doubt and question his goodness and what he's told us. And if you think about Eve there, and I'm not trying to pick on women in this temptation. Don't take that wrong, because everybody is tempted. But she looked on the tree. She looked where she was forbidden to look. And I don't know if in the days before that, if she had in her daily routine, she had just kind of been around this tree, if she had looked at it and wondered, you know, but she let herself look at it, and she let herself desire this tree that was forbidden. Or we could say she followed after this temptation. She let it turn into something. Satan wants the wrong things to seem attractive so that we will want them more than the right thing. He wants you to feel so defeated and like a failure that you don't even try. Satan wants you to delay doing the right thing so it never gets done. When we give in to a temptation, it starts an addiction. And an addiction is something that needs fed more and more and more. It's not okay with what happened the first time. And it's kind of like drugs. People have to do more of them. They have to do harder ones. They have to go farther. And that's the way giving into temptation is. We live in a society that is okay, even expects a certain amount of giving in to temptation. We can see that all around us. And yet when that temptation takes a person farther and farther, and when they reach a certain point, then all of a sudden our society condemns it and most of the time punishes it severely, when really it was just a result of an encouraged addiction in the first place. And so it's no wonder that that this happens when a person lets himself go after temptation. Satan's temptations focus on three crucial points: physical needs and desires, possessions and power, and pride. Satan is predictable, and he has a pattern in the way that he attacks our souls. And, you know, we can know ahead of time. You can pretty much know, you know, if the wrong thing goes on wherever, I'm going to be tempted. We can know what the devil's going to do with that. He's going to tempt us. And so when we know Satan's patterns, we can come up with our own plan to fight against that with God's help. Stories of temptation in the Bible. So I just talked about Eve. She fell for the temptation. Was she where she should have been? If she would have never looked at the tree, just wrote it off right away, it would have been the thing to do. Think of King David and his sin with Bathsheba. You know, a lot of people say, well, he should have been out at war where he belonged. And that's probably true. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that it was a sin for him to be at his house resting. He had been gone a lot. There had been a lot going on. And so I don't read anywhere that in itself was sin for him to do that. Was it a good idea? Probably not. But when he was up walking around on the top of that house and he seen Bathsheba, he made a choice. And he chose to inquire instead of to go away from it. He should have left the roof. He should have went somewhere else, got away from the temptation. When our temptations first hit us is when we win them or lose them. You might reel it in if you let that go for a little bit, but you're fast headed to the sin when you make the wrong choice at the beginning of a temptation. We have Solomon. He gave in to the temptation to marry foreign wives, and it caused him to turn away from God. Samson traded his Nazarite vow and moral strength for short-lived desire for Delilah. He thought he could resist, but he put himself in a vulnerable place, and his life was ruined because of it. Have you ever found that you knew where a temptation was, and yet you wasn't there yet, and in your mind, you thought, no, I can handle it. And yet, in reality, you can't. And that's what Samson did. And I'll tell you something else about our trip to Oregon. So I didn't know if I should go or not. I felt like I should. And I took Jackson with me. And it was for more reasons than this, just this. But I've not traveled a lot by myself. I have a little bit. But it's not good for me to be in an airport with tons of other people all by myself. So much of the world around me, my heart starts leaning towards the world. I'll just tell you, I struggle with it. It's a temptation. And so did I want to spend the $600 some for that second ticket? I sure didn't. Not at all, because y'all know that I'm trying to finish a house back here that could use a whole lot more than that. But I knew, putting myself out there, I feel like I'm in the devil's territory, and to just have Jackson along, it makes me feel, responsible. It makes me feel accountable in some way. And it's a way that we can help avoid temptations. Now, I could have stayed home and never went, and I still would have faced temptations. We face temptations wherever we go. Another person that was tempted in the Bible was Jesus in the wilderness when Satan came to him there in Matthew 4. And, you know, if you think about that, Jesus survived that temptation. And it doesn't give a lot of details, but I don't think Jesus was hungry, but I don't think he let himself think about it. When the devil brought that to his mind, I think he wrote it off. He saw it for what it was. And when the devil took him way up on that mountain and showed him all the riches of the world, can you imagine? You know, we don't think in that amount of riches, but if somebody offered you $1 billion to compromise something in your faith, would you write it off just like that? Or would you look at it and would you wonder a little bit? That's a lot of money. You could do a lot of things for a long time. And I think it was a lot more than that the devil offered Jesus. And yet, I don't think Jesus even allowed himself to look at that. He knew it didn't matter. It doesn't matter what was at stake. He wasn't going there. And that's the key to victory over that. So how can we overcome temptation? So one of the ways, and we can't get completely away from temptation. We know that. One of the ways is don't place ourselves in a temptation area. Genesis 13, verses 12 and 13. I'll read that. Genesis 13, verse 12 and 13. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so we know the story of Lot, and Lot made it. He was able to make it, but his family didn't. He lost his family. And so he put them in a bad place. And we haven't went. We've been to Florida once or twice, went out to the beach, and we went in May one time. I think it was May. a little bit early in the year. School wasn't out, so we thought it'd be less people, and it was less people. And as a more mature person, if you're living in victory, if you're used to facing temptation, you can go to the beach. And, you know, I don't actually personally, I don't encourage it on a regular long-term basis, but because there might be an ice cream truck come by that's tempting to buy ice cream, whether you're on a diet or not. But very likely there's going to be a lot worse temptations than that walk by when you're at the beach. And so you can put your family through that. And I don't think I realized what I was putting my family through when we did that at the time. It's something to think about. Where do we put our family? What temptations do we put our families in? Maybe we can make it, but they may not. And then I have here in Second Samuel 11, I done talked about David, but he inquired instead of turning away from the temptation. You know, he couldn't help what he's seen. It's pretty easy to condemn him pretty early in that, but he actually, I don't think he knew what he was going to see when he went up there on that roof. So he couldn't help what he's seen. He could help what choice he made after that. And we know the troubles that plagued his family, you know, for a long time after that, even though he repented and turned back to God. Luke 8, verse 13. This is Jesus explaining the different soils. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. So it says they have no root. We have to be rooted in God's word. We have to know ahead of time what we're going to do. I thought I had it wrote down here, but if you think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife, I think Joseph knew ahead of time what he was going to do. He didn't just on a whim do what he did. He knew where he was, and he knew before the temptation came. We need to be rooted in God to overcome temptation. That's what we heard this morning. Same thought. Ephesians 6, verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So God's word is a sword. It's a sword to use in our spiritual combat. If we have God's word, if we go to God's word and apply God's word to our lives, it's a spiritual sword for us. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 7. Second Chronicles 14:7. Paper at that one. Okay, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they was preparing before the attack came. So the time to prepare is before. It's before it happens. And I said that about Joseph. That's where I had it wrote down here. I think Joseph prepared his heart. He prepared his decision on what he was going to do with temptation before it ever showed up. Luke 11, verse 4. This is part of the Lord's Prayer here. It says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We should ask God to deliver us from evil. And if you're facing temptations this morning and you ain't talking to God about them, I have no doubt in my mind that you're not winning at them. You're losing at them. If you're not talking to God about your temptations that you face, we need to talk to him about them. Ask God to deliver us from them. We'll fail if we don't. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I don't want to take that out of context of what Jesus was saying there. But if you feel like me, your spirit wants to do what's right. You want to make it to heaven. You want to please God. You want to be a true Christian. And yet our flesh is so weak sometimes. It's just how it feels. And that's what we need to talk to God about. And I think God understands that. And I know for me, I'll be worried about a temptation. I'll be thinking about a temptation. And I'll talk to God about it. And my flesh will feel weak. And yet through that time frame, it's like God just took care of the situation to where the temptation wasn't there. And that just amazes me. That he understands our weakness. He understands our spirit. And if our spirit is willing and our flesh is weak, I believe he helps us in this in a tremendous way. Not that we don't make choices. We have to make choices. In closing, I want to read Luke 4, verse 13. I have two verses. Actually, Luke 4:13 is the first one. This is after the devil was tempting Jesus here. It said, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And so when we are tempted and we resist temptation with God's help, the devil leaves us. Well, I believe the devil has to leave when we call on God, when we're praying to God, if we're really crying out to God in a temptation, the devil has to go. He can't stand God's power. And the devil leaves us after we come through a temptation, or maybe it's a little time of rest there when after we have resisted this. James 1, verse 12, it's my last verse I want to read. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So enduring temptation is very worth it. It's very rewarding in the end. And it's even rewarding before the end. There's a There's a peace and a satisfaction in our soul, which is really why we are tempted to go after temptation, is we need that satisfaction in our soul. And if we don't find it in God, we're going to try to find it somewhere else. So that's all I have. As you face temptations, take them to God and talk to God about them and resist them and do whatever it takes. Prepare ahead of time and follow through with it. Don't place yourself in an area you know you have lost and lost and lost. Don't place yourself in that area. So that's all I have this morning. If y'all want to stand, we'll pray.